Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
This may feel strong, but you people are stupid.
OMG. It's Felger and Maz, 95 The Sports Hub.
All right, it's hour number two, Felger and Maz. I have a developing opinion on, if you can believe it, the Patriots, Tom Brady, and Jimmy Garoppolo, two plus years later. But I'm actually coming around on a kind of a strong developing opinion on that whole situation. And I want to get into that. But we're all loaded up here on the Hall of Fame calls and some Bruins calls, so let's blow through them right here and then get to that other stuff. Here's Carl in New Hampshire. Hi, Carl.
Hi, I'm not a millennial, and I don't even know what the hell an OPS is. But I do hate the way that they vote on the Hall of Fame. But I disagree with Maz. Both Clemens and Bonds cheated. They took steroids. That'd be like 10 years later, the Tour de France gave Lance Armstrong his title back. You can't do it. You're calling the guys scumbags who cheated on this, on ball and strike thing with the Houston and Red Sox. You can't have it both ways.
I don't know if we're saying they're S-bags. Are we saying that?
I said last week, if you remember when I was talking about baseball, that there's no leadership and that they're a bunch of dirtbags.
That's right.
So
okay, so dirtbags.
Yeah. No, and I use the S-bag word. I did. He's right.
So if Altuve and Bregman and these guys, or Betts, Mookie Betts for that matter, come up for Hall of Fame voting, are people going to vote against them for the cheating, should they?
I mean, I'd vote yes if the player's worthy. I mean, I think Altuve is a terrific player. So, again, am I going to hold it against them because they stole signs? No. I mean, it's how I feel about Bonds and Clemens. I'll use my eyeballs. So, again, I eliminate the moral element. Like, if you want people to make moral judgments on athletes, then sports writers are the wrong group.
What I find comical is that, and you said before, some are just, the steroid guys, they'll take the evidence that's presented to them. They're not going to leap to their own conclusions, which, okay. I mean, if you've been consistent about that, I'll take it. But for these baseball writers to think that, this guy's clean, but that guy's not, they're still playing the same stupid game that I remember 15 years ago butting my heads against these baseball writers. Like, guys, do you not get it that the sport is filthy? I mean, I remember someone on Larry Walker's Rockies. I'm not going to tell you who it was, but it was that era. And I was on EEI, and we were at Fenway, and one of the players from that Rockies team, Larry Walker's Rockies team, came into the studio to do an interview with us. And he was so puffed out, roided out. It was like sitting next to the guy. I said, "This is his tongue was massive in his mouth. He had trouble speaking clearly because he was so loaded. He was so
inflated,
loaded and puffed out, inflated." I was like, "Do you notice that? Are you noticing this guy?
Cartoon character.
He was a cartoon character.
No question.
But nope. No one dug through his garbage, so we're not going to know about him, but he's clean. But no, Barry Bonds and Roger, he's just they were all doing it. They were all doing it, all of them.
I can guess who that was.
God, like it was so obvious. But nope, this guy's in and that guy's not. Quit playing the game. They were all doing it.
Of course, on that team, I take it back. It could have been any one of about five guys.
Peter in Blackstone. Go ahead, Peter.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Just want to talk a little bit about the cheating scandal in baseball. Very little has been said about the players. Why is that?
So, what's your point?
My point is that Cora's gone, but in order for this to work, all the players had to be in on it too, no?
Yes. Okay, so yes, the league gave them immunity, but I think a lot of people are talking about the players. People are looking at Altuve and him, you know, holding his jersey when he's coming in for the walk-off home run and saying, what's up with this guy?
Yeah, so look, again, we all know what the problem is with the players. And if you want to tell me that they're innocent, they're not. What are you going to do, suspend them all? I mean, how many guys you want to suspend? How many guys are on new teams, first of all? So they're not even with the same team anymore. And then the Rockies have, I mean, the Astros have like, what, seven guys who are still there or something? And are you going to suspend those seven? You're going to suspend them all?
So I understand why MLB is not going after the players and all those ramifications. I accept it. But the players are to blame more than anybody.
Sure.
The cheating culture in baseball, and it goes back to the steroids. The union did nothing to get steroids out of the game. In fact, as when the owners finally decided to do something about it, the players fought them at every turn. And continued to fight him and continued to fight him and continued to fight him. So it wasn't like the players went to their union and said, this guy's cheating me out of my money and my livelihood. No, they all just got on steroids.
Or they did the opposite. They protected them.
Or they protected them. And they're doing it the same thing with this. So it really comes down to the players.
Yeah, at the end of the day, it is. But I look at it this way. So how would you try to address it? I go after the leadership. So again, look, there's no way the players are always going to cheat. There's no way around that. They're going to cheat. So the question is, how far are they going to go, and does the manager and the bench coach and the GM, do they learn about it? And if they do, what do they do to stop it? So to me, like, you know, that's how I look at it. The problem's always going to be there, but is the leadership doing anything about it?
Jane,
and they weren't.
Jay in Southboro, what do you got on Larry Walker?
Maz, I'm shocked you don't remember this. 97 All-Star game. Randy Johnson almost hit Larry Walker. He turned his helmet around and batted righty. That's his greatest moment.
That's
and
right.
It's sad.
That clowning around at the All-Star game, we almost got hit by Randy Johnson.
Yeah, the other one I remember is Pedro striking his ass out at the All-Star game in 99. So that's now three Larry Walker events that we've talked about. One was handing a ball to a kid in the stands. One was putting his helmet on backwards and acting like a clown. And the other one was striking out. So that, I mean, again, I don't know about you, but boy, I don't know how he's not in Cooperstown.
Brian in the car, go ahead.
Hey, you guys were talking about Clemens and Bonds and how they've slowed down in recent years. I am going to bet anything that they will start going up again in the next couple of years. The reason they didn't get a bump the last 2 years is because the whole group probably conspired together to make sure that Mariano Rivera got his vote, and they didn't want to sully his induction with the two lead steroid guys. And then you got Derek Jeter going in this year, the poster child for doing it the right way, the whole, you know, people take their pants off for Derek Jeter constantly. Now, he's not a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, and then this whole thing, why does he get the right way tab? Like, how do we know he did? How did he play so long for such a high level? How did Mo Rivera play so long at such a high level?
Nobody knows.
No, nothing to see there. He did it the right way. Really? Really? So he was the guy. Played forever at that high level. No help. Huh. Interesting. Yeah, good call.
Yeah, but you want him to be guilty then?
No, I'm just saying
he's not innocent.
Treat no one as innocent. Treat them all on a level playing field.
Okay, so that I agree with, but it doesn't mean he's guilty either.
No.
Right? But let's not go give him the benefit of the doubt as being this squeaky clean choir boy, because who the hell knows?
I mean, I know how I feel. I feel it's hard to play that long at that high a level on what? Protein shakes?
Well, and the other thing is,
I mean, I don't believe that.
Yeah, and we learned from that era, like, you'd be dumb to think anyone's clean. You'd be dumb to think that.
Come on. Please. But the rubber will meet the road. When is Ortiz up?
He's coming up in 2 years.
Okay, so that'll
A-Rod.
Be that'll be A-Rod and Ortiz will come up the last year of Clemens and
correct
Bonds, I believe.
Correct.
So they're all going to be there in 2022.
Yeah.
Okay? People, the voters are going to want to vote for Ortiz. He's dirty, steroid guy, fact.
But good guy. He'll get those votes.
Good guy. People want to vote for David Ortiz. How is a voter in their right mind going to vote for Ortiz but not Bonds and Clemens? And I think that might be the year they just say, screw it. You're all in, and let's just forget about this.
Yeah, I don't know what kind of logic's going to go on in some of those twisted little heads. But the idea of, would you
say? You're overthinking it. They'll just look at it and be like, I liked Ortiz. He was nice to me. Those other two were a-holes. Check for Ortiz. That's it. It's that simple.
You said Ortiz, A-Rod, Bonds, and Clemens? Oh, they're going to have to increase the limit on how many guys you can vote for that year. You have to go up to 15, I think, instead of 10. I mean, that's a lot of guys. You got to keep everyone happy.
Mike and Cranston on the Bruins. Go ahead, Mike.
Hi, just calling to talk about the Bruins and their lack of toughness and the rumors of getting Chris Kreider from the New York Rangers and how he would bring grit and toughness and maybe help out the second line, seeing that Dan Heinen's kind of a waste.
Okay, so what's your opinion? Do you think he would bring it?
I think he absolutely would, and I think that's what they need, and especially if you want to make a push in the playoffs because you're just going to get beat up by Washington. And
I'm going to cut you off. They need a couple things. They need someone who can score on the second and third lines. They need to balance out their scoring. Kreider can do that. He's not, you know, this ain't Gordie Howe we're talking about.
25 goal scorer.
He's a 20 goal scorer. And so that's, you know, that's an upgrade over Danton Heinen, who I've just about had enough with. Like, I don't know how much more I can watch that kid play. So, like, that's an upgrade there. And I think he's 6'3". I think he's got good size.
6'3", 215.
He's no, you know, he ain't. And again, when you're not getting Cam Neely here, like, you've got to dial your expectations back to what the league is now and how the game is played. And how what the league is and how the game is played, he's decent size and he's got decent will. You know, like, he'll stick his nose in there at least a little. And he'll score at least a little. So beggars can't be choosers, right? You just got to get a little something there. And I think he checks some of those boxes. Not, I mean, not exactly a ringing endorsement, but again, I think people want, you know, they want this 50 goal scoring power forward. You're not going to get TJ Oshie. I'm sorry.
I'd rather have Kreider than Danton Heinen.
Oh, quiet one. God, I can't watch him anymore.
He's got a quiet game.
What does he do? Stephen Holbrook on the Bruins. Go ahead, Steve.
I'm sorry, I'm laughing, Naz. I'm going to switch it up. I want to talk about the goaltending, please. I'd like to know and leave you with a question real quick. Who would you rather have in a shootout, Halak or Tuukka? Because Tuukka stands on his head during a whole game, but when it comes to a shootout, he chokes every time.
Okay, so I don't care.
Doesn't matter. You could put a brick wall there. It doesn't matter because they can't score. They're going to lose the shootout.
Harry Schmedlap. I don't care about the shootout. I don't care. I mean, I watch it. I like it. I enjoy the shootout as a fan. The fact that they're 0-7 in shootouts means nothing. It means zero.
Non-factor in the playoffs.
Means absolutely not. So does their overtime. Their overtime and shootout record means absolutely nothing. Unless it costs them the number one seed or, you know, winning the division versus, then I might get a little agitated. But in terms of what they are as a playoff team, it means 0.0.
They could have freaking Ken Dryden during the regular season and they're not winning the shootout.
They're not. They just,
seriously, Murray's right. You freaking send 15 guys through there, run them all, and they're not getting a goal.
It's all like, remember how Lucic used to do it? Like, head down like a mighty mite. Like, it's like they've all become that.
They're the biggest bunch of hacks in that thing I've ever seen.
Seriously. It's like Lucic is skating with a milk crate.
You'd rather have the mini.
Crying out loud, learn how to skate.
The mini one-on-one out there. The kids out there. It doesn't matter. So I want to get to my latest developing opinion on Brady and Jimmy Garoppolo and the trade of Jimmy Garoppolo and how that translates and how that relates to what's going on right now. We'll bring that to you right after these words.
Duggar Maz. Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
bonuses at Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
Mike Felger, Tony Maserati. Making your afternoon commute better.
Throw some, Felger. How about a mea culpa? You are wrong. Running backs do matter.
Or worse.
I wouldn't pay him.
A 98.5 to Sports Hub.
At the same time, Brady was talking about playing into his 40s again. And I think that the question in the building was, you know, is Tom going to do it here in New England? Has he earned that right? Or is he going to do it somewhere else? And he was threatened by Jimmy Garoppolo. And, you know, when Jimmy Garoppolo injured his shoulder a year ago, he told people in the Patriots building that he went to TB12 to get treatment and they wouldn't see him. And he knocked on the door and it was locked and he called trainers and nobody picked up and he ended up going with the team trainers and only ended up going to TB12 2 weeks later after one of the Patriots officials called and essentially told them, like, what's going on? Why aren't you treating this guy? And so I think that Tom wanted Jimmy gone so he could have the peace of mind that this was his team. He was going to be the president in the future for a while. And all of that culminated with Robert Kraft essentially tipping the scales and making a football decision. And the next, you know, within a couple of weeks, Garoppolo was traded to San Francisco. I mean, Bill Belichick texted Kyle Shanahan, the 49ers head coach, and said, will you, you know, give me a call when you wake up? And then when they talked, he said, will you take Jimmy for a second? And that's essentially how the trade went down.
That's Seth Wickersham a couple years ago on the Jimmy Garoppolo trade and how that all went down. And here's how I'm choosing to frame the Jimmy Garoppolo conversation, because here we are, Super Bowl 54. Jimmy Garoppolo is in the Super Bowl. So this is going to be a big storyline for us here in New England. And, you know, this is what I'm arriving at. I don't really care to discuss, because we've done it so much, whether you think Garoppolo is any good or not. We've been over that. And we will continue to go over that. But that's been played out, and I guess the game's going to tell. I guess a lot of people need to see it in this game coming up to be convinced. But if you're not convinced now, it's not. I don't know what it's going to take. So leave that to the side, whether you think he's any good or not. And I don't really care to discuss whether you think they should have traded him or not, because I don't know. Brady was in the middle of winning MVPs and Super Bowls. And Garoppolo was up. So I think it's unreasonable to expect the team to have kept Jimmy Garoppolo. I know Maz kind of differs on that, but we've also been over that one. All right? What I've arrived at is, now 2+ years later, can you look back and feel good about how it all went down? Do you feel good about how it all went down?
No.
And why?
Because, again, I thought the whole thing was borderline dysfunctional. You had the coach who wanted to keep him, the quarterback who was pouting, and the owner who intervened. It didn't feel to me like the thing was thought out and orchestrated and, you know, analyzed. It felt more personal and territorial on all fronts. I'm not accusing Brady of it any more than Bill or Robert. I don't like the way it went down at all. No.
Yeah, it felt forced. And hearing back some of that audio from Belichick post-trade, where he talks for 3.5 minutes about Garoppolo, like, I think that there's things you can read into there where he's saying, you know, that it sounded like his hand was forced. So, no, it wasn't ideal.
Well, how could you feel good about it? Maz is 100% right. Was that trade executed with this sort of methodical precision and, you know, this, what we always give the Patriots credit for, which is being one step ahead and surveying the field and maximizing value and sort of playing all the puppet strings? Is that how that thing went down?
No.
Because Cleveland was willing to give you, at the draft in 2017, in April of 2017, before that season even began, their 12th overall pick. And then when you got into the season and the trade deadline, Bill Belichick wouldn't even give him a call. And they were willing to offer you what turned out to be another first-round pick that ended up being four overall. Not that it would have been at the time you made the trade, but Cleveland had two first-round picks, and they were willing to offer you the second, which was Houston's, which ended up being the fourth overall pick, and you never even called them. So you didn't maximize the value. You didn't play the chessboard. You didn't think ahead. You didn't survey the field. It was done, as Maz said. It came down to sort of personality and agendas. And it was really, it felt like an emotional move by a fractured organization.
I mean, it felt like really they were all ultimately trying to undermine each other more than they were trying to do the right thing for the organization.
And I'll go back and read you some of the details from Seth Wickersham and others. But, you know, Bill kept Garoppolo because he wanted to convince Garoppolo to take an extension, to be here for when Brady was done. Garoppolo wouldn't take it. And then Kraft steps in some way, shape, or form and makes it clear that Brady's going nowhere and you better move on the other guy because we're not moving on this one. And so Bill says, screw it. And he calls Shanahan, doesn't even negotiate, just asks for their second and that's it? That's dysfunctional. That was dysfunctional. And that's what I look back at 2 years later. Do I feel good about how it all went down? And I don't. I don't. You can't. How could you? Did they move the pieces around the chessboard? No. Did they maximize value? No. Did they play one thing off the next and it be one step ahead? No, just the opposite. And so my developing opinion is, has anything changed? Because I still feel like they're in the same place. Let me ask you this. Who's making the call on Tom Brady?
Oh, the owner.
I mean, in theory, now it's Bill.
We still don't know.
Right.
We still don't know.
Bill, I think ultimately it comes down to Robert, though. I think.
But right?
There's uncertainty there.
Yeah.
Are they on the same page over there?
No.
Well, they would like you to believe they are, but again, we'll find out when push comes to shove.
2+ years later.
No, of the most important matters, it still feels like it's fractured.
Does it feel like they're on the same page?
No.
I don't know who's going to make the call. They say Bill's in charge, but can anyone say with 100% confidence that Robert doesn't have the proclivity at the last minute to step in and make the call? We don't know how that's going to go.
That's correct. A good point.
I don't feel like they're dialed in. I don't feel like they're on the same page. I think we're looking at this going, Brady's trying to call their bluff. They're trying to call his. Bill wants this, but Robert wants that. Robert has the ultimate say. And Bill on the backside, well, maybe he's leaving his coaching options open in case he gets overruled again. And I think they're all over the place. I don't think they're on the same page. And now they have no backup plan. I don't think. I hope Stidham's the guy, but, you know, it doesn't sound like it, if you believe Bedard. And so it's like, that's my takeaway, is that they did not handle that situation well. It wasn't a well-oiled machine. It wasn't methodical and well thought out and planned ahead like they do on so many other things. It was sort of by the seat of their pants. And competing agendas in the building.
No question.
Fighting against each other and brushing up against each other until someone said, screw it, he's gone. And I'm going to send him where he's going to have success instead of what's best for the team and playing other teams off each other and maximizing value. He'll do well there because the coach is good, and that's going to make me look good. And that's how that decision was made. So what's going to happen now?
You got me. I don't have a clue. And so, again, I'll tell you this. Of all the parties involved, the one that I will believe will remain truest to what's best for the Patriots is Belichick. I feel like Bill is closest. And when he traded Garoppolo, believe me, that wasn't what was best for the Patriots.
Okay, I was going to say.
No, I'm not telling you that Bill is perfect in it. But I think that in wanting to keep Garoppolo, Bill was most consistent with how they operated for the majority of his tenure, which is better getting rid of a player a year too early than a year too late. They did that with everybody until they got to the most important position on the field, and then they choked.
Oh, see, I don't know. I mean, that return is, I think the word we were using at the time, that still applies, is negligent.
It is negligent. It is. Again, I didn't
look
say
how he handled the Malcolm Butler thing. I'm not going to forget that. And even with the Rob Gronkowski trade that he wanted to do with Detroit, they ultimately needed him at the end to win that Super Bowl last year, so that wouldn't have been a good move either.
I didn't say he remained true to it. I said closest.
But here's what's scary is, you know, back then when they were sort of flailing around, and that's what it was. I'm sorry. They were flailing around. coach wanted to do one thing, the owner wanted to do another. They had to step in at the last minute, and then the coach made sort of an irresponsible trade. Like, they were flailing around. But at least when they were flailing around 2+ years ago, they had Brady at the top of his game and a really viable backup in Garoppolo. Now what do they have? Brady's sort of come off the top of his game, and they don't have anybody. And that's sort of scary to me. It's like, well, you could say you had an embarrassment of riches at that time. One way or the other, you were still going to be in good shape, whether it was Garoppolo or Brady. You were going to have something there. Now what do you have? And who's really making the call? Have they figured that out? Are they on the same page?
Well, in theory, according to Gasper way back when, it's Bill now.
But Brady expects Kraft to step in at the last minute, and we all know that's possible. And Kraft's talking. You know, Bill's not saying a word, but Kraft will sit down with Peter King in, you know, the last game of the year and say, it's my hope and my prayer. And then he'll talk to TMZ yesterday as he's climbing into the SUV in New York. That's the plan to keep him. Oh, it is? I thought Bill was making the call, but the owner's still doing the talking. Are they on the same page? Have they figured it out? Have they buttoned it down yet over there? Or is this just still a penis measuring contest down there, and it's going to get made based on that?
Well, I think that's what it was with the Garoppolo trade, and then with Gronk. Now it's nobody wants to look like the bad guy. That's why you have, you know, they're not on the same page. No one wants to end up coming out looking like the bad guy. The owner doesn't want to be the guy that moves on from Brady and he goes off somewhere else and ends up having an MVP season and wins somewhere else. Belichick doesn't want to own it, and Brady doesn't want to leave and look like the bad guy either.
Do they have a cohesive plan that they have, that they know the pieces on the chessboard and all the moves before they're going to be made, and they're just playing everybody?
No,
that's not what happened with Garoppolo, and I don't feel they're in any better shape today.
Oh, you could argue they're in worse shape.
So that's my developing opinion on this. More details and more thoughts on it after Murray's update.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Helplinema.org.
Miss something?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
That's idiotic.
Now back to Felger and Maz on Boston's home for sports.
Adam, you got the phone. You're working everything. What have you heard on this?
Well, let's make it very simple. It's a hoax. It's a hack. It's not real. Right. And he's not getting traded. We keep saying it. People keep saying it's to drive up the price. It's for ulterior motives. The facts are the facts. Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be on the Patriots, but we can continue to talk about it. There was another person yesterday that's connected to the organization. They said, does Cleveland realize we're not trading him, no matter how many picks it takes? Mm. One person there said, if they got four ones, they wouldn't trade him. Now, again, believe what you want to believe, and we'll continue talking about it. When people hack into his account, it'll come up again, and it's come up again this morning, and people get heart palpitations, but they're not trading him.
Adam Schefter, right around the 2017 draft, and the rumors with Garoppolo going somewhere else, they wouldn't trade him for four first-round picks, which was accurate reporting. That's what he was being told by Bill. And it's true, and it's been confirmed by teams like San Francisco and Cleveland that they called on Garoppolo at the 2017 draft and were told no. We're told no. In fact, when San Francisco called and were told no, they hung up the phone and then said, "Why, he's so adamant he's not going to trade Garoppolo. What does that mean? Brady's available? And they called him back and said, well, what about Brady? And Bill, I guess, laughed at him. But it goes from no, I'm not taking anything. I'm not taking four first-round picks. He's not available to Kyle. You want him for a second? I mean, I'm sorry. That's messed up.
Of course it is.
That's messed up. And you know, you go back and read that Wickersham piece. It's just, you know, it's great. I'll just read you a portion here. Several times this past October. Now, this was written in January of 2018. So this was in October of 2017, leading up to the 2017 trade deadline when Garoppolo was traded. Several times this past October, Brady met with Kraft to discuss playing longer. That same month, he also met with Belichick, who was skeptical of a long-term contract extension, but was content to start Brady as long as he was the best quarterback. Like, right then and there, that's dysfunctional. He's going up to the owner, not the coach, not the GM, the guy who's making the decisions. And has that changed? That's sort of my point. I don't know what's changed. Anyway, Belichick understood how much Brady had meant to the franchise and had always insisted privately that he would not move on from Brady unless he could convince the coaching staff of it. But the reality was that no quarterback has ever played at a championship level into his 40s. The meeting ended with a little blow-up, according to a source. Complicating matters was that Garoppolo would be a free agent at the end of the season. Complicating matters more was that Brady and Garoppolo shared Don Yee as an agent.
Correct. Huge factor.
And, writes Wickersham, complicating matters even more was that Belichick didn't want to trade Garoppolo. He had passed on dealing him last spring when Garoppolo was in high demand. In early September, Belichick did trade third-string quarterback Jacoby Brissett to the Colts for Philip Dorsett. Quote, if we trade Jimmy, we're the Cleveland Browns with no succession plan. One person inside the organization said earlier in the year. If we trade Jimmy, we're the Cleveland Browns with no succession plan. Let me just stop there. That's where you are right now.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like my issue. What's the plan? And are you all on the same page? Because you weren't 2 years ago and it cost you draft capital. It cost you a better return for an in-demand player. Where are you now? Robert will talk. He'll tell TMZ. He'll tell Peter King and we hope and repair. No, that's the plan yesterday, he said. That's the plan is to re-sign Tom Brady. Is that Bill Belichick's plan? Are they all on the same page? They know what it's going to cost? Do they all agree on what the money is going to be? Where are they with that? Anyway, the Patriots repeatedly offered Garoppolo four-year contract extensions in the $17 to $18 million range annually that would go higher if and when he succeeded Brady. Garoppolo and Yee rejected the offers out of hand for reasons that remain unclear. And the Patriots knew they couldn't make any promises to Garoppolo about the timing of a transition at quarterback without it getting back to Brady. So it's sort of obvious why Yee rejected it. Because
well, that's the core of the issue right there.
If Yee signed Garoppolo to a contract that would make him the next quarterback, Brady would look at Don Yee and say, what are you doing to me? You just undercut me. You're fired.
Exactly. Talk about a conflict of interest. That's one of the great ones of all time.
So what a mess. What a mess. How much better is it now? I keep asking that. 2 weeks before the November 1st trade deadline. Again, this is back in 2017. 2 weeks before the November 1st trade deadline, Belichick met with Kraft to discuss the quarterback situation. According to staffers, the meeting ran long, lasting half the day and pushing back Belichick's other meetings. Now, I think everyone's denied this, that this meeting took place, and everyone's denying it. Kraft's are denying that they influenced Bill on the Garoppolo decision, which yeah,
But come on.
But I don't buy. But anyway, just so you know, like there's been a lot of pushback on that and on this specific detail. Anyway, the office was buzzing. The meeting ended with a clear mandate to Belichick. Trade Garoppolo because he would not be in the team's long-term plans. And then, once again, find the best quarterback in the draft and develop him. Belichick was furious and demoralized, according to friends. But in the end, he did what he asks of his players and coaches. He did his job. And according to Gary Tangway, called the Redskins and Giants and said, I may be available here soon. Anyway, one morning in late October, Belichick texted San Fran head coach Kyle Shanahan and asked him to call. Belichick had long admired Kyle's father, Mike, who not only had been one of the NFL's smartest tacticians, but had also personally defended Belichick to Commissioner Roger Goodell during the Spygate scandal. I forgot about this detail. At the Combine this past February, Kyle, weeks into the 49ers job after being the offensive coordinator for the Falcons, met with Belichick for hours to learn from his team's humiliating Super Bowl loss. Belichick believed that Garoppolo would excel under Shanahan, and when he and Shanahan connected on the phone, Belichick offered the quarterback for a second rounder. So you make the trade not for the best return, but you make the trade because the coach's old man went to bat for you on Spygate. And I don't know, you're good with the Shanahans, you like the Shanahans, you think they're good coaches, and you wanted Garoppolo to do well too, so you didn't shop them, you didn't look for the highest bid, you didn't play one team off the other, you didn't play the pieces on the chessboard, you just called friends of yours and said, here he is for a low second. Ugh.
It's consistent with who Bill is, though, isn't it?
Ugh, feh.
Yeah, so again, that is a, negligence is the right word, Murray. Use that word, that's negligent.
Wickersham writes it was a steal, leaving Patriots staffers stunned and confused. Why would the game's shrewdest long-term strategist, meaning Belichick, why would the game's shrewdest long-term strategist trade two backup quarterbacks in a two-month span when his starter was 40 years old and banged up? And why did Belichick practically give away a quarterback whom the coaches saw as a potential top 10 player in the league for much less when he could have gotten last spring? It made no sense. Belichick handled the trade as he always does, by not explaining it to the coaches and burying them so deep in work that they didn't have time to gossip. Brady, for his part, seemed liberated. Kraft hugged Brady when he saw him that week at practice in full view of teammates. A few days later, during practice, some players and staffers noticed that Brady seemed especially excited, hollering and cajoling. Brady was once again the team's present and future. His new backup, Brian Hoyer, was a longtime friend and not a threat. The owner was in Brady's corner. Quote, he won, a Patriots staffer says.
Agreed.
So that's what that came down to.
At that time, it did. It felt like Brady won.
How can you feel good about that?
You can't.
So do you think Garoppolo can play or not? Should they have traded him or not? Side topics. Okay, what's done is done. How do they execute it? How is the execution?
Poor.
And how's the execution going to be on this one? I'm beginning to wonder. What's really been settled down there?
Nothing.
So that's it. That's my developing Garoppolo opinion. I promise. Right to your calls after this.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Helplinema.org.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke blew.
It's Felger and Mass. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Shotgun snap. Four-man rush. Grapple fires down the middle.
Fort Bennett on the money. And on time. Touchdown, Patriots.
Oh, boy, we got a quarterback here. Big boy throw. Martellus Bennett going up the right seam. He brings Edelman in short motion from the left. Edelman gets the free release, so Jimmy's looking at him all the way. And he's to the left, but he comes back to the right. And that freezes at safety, and he throws a bullet to Martellus Bennett right up that right hash.
So said it, we got a quarterback. No, they don't. So that's our developing Jimmy Garoppolo thoughts. What are yours as we head into the Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo and the San Francisco 49ers in it? Kevin and Atkinson, bring us up or bring us back. Go ahead, Kevin.
Hey, what's going on, Felger?
Not much. What do you got?
So
So I was thinking that because Belichick's always thinking about the Patriots and putting the Patriots first, he went to go trade Garoppolo to the 49ers for basically nothing, so that when Tom decides to finally leave the Patriots, it kind of blocks him from doing so.
So, okay, so this is that's one we hear quite a bit, that Belichick just gave Garoppolo to San Fran, so it blocked a preferred destination for Tom Brady, so we get to keep Tom Brady.
No.
No, that's too devious.
Look, the single biggest factor in San Francisco getting Garoppolo was Shanahan, if you ask me. Okay, and when I say Shanahan, meaning the coach, that Bill wanted to send Garoppolo to a place where he would continue to get good coaching.
And he also liked the old man because he went to bat for him on Spygate. I'll give that a little nod, too.
Yeah, I don't exclude it. I think the bigger thing is making sure that Jimmy succeeded. Because, again, Bill's tied to Jimmy. He drafted him, and ultimately he wants people to be able to look back on it and say, well, you know, Bill wanted to keep him. And so the only way that that becomes significant is if Garoppolo can play. If Garoppolo can't play, nobody cares that Bill wanted to keep him. So to me, I think it was more about making sure that Jimmy was in an environment where he could play, you know, and play well, which Bill told us in his press conference.
That's right. And who says Bill wants to block Brady from leaving? I mean, are you even sure of that? I mean, Kraft might, but does Bill? All these things, these competing things are still on the table 2 years later.
Yeah, I mean, you know how I feel. I don't think, deep down, I don't think Bill wants Tom back.
We've got Julie in Medford. Go ahead, Julie. Same thing, right?
Hi, yes. So mine's a little more intricate. I think that a couple of years ago at 40, when Tom was 40, and they were assessing whether he would be with the Patriots, and Bill wanted to hang on to Jimmy and couldn't, and knew that they would have to reassess Tom's value in a couple of years, 3 years at the most, which now here we are, 43. Where would Tom want to go, though, at the end of his career, if anywhere else besides the Patriots, where Joe Montana, his childhood idol, where his family is in the Bay Area, Kyle Shanahan doing him a favor for a second-round pick for a guy who he thought was the next guy?
Okay, but again, Julie,
that doesn't add up.
You're assuming that Bill wants to keep Brady. If Bill's willing to move on from Brady, why would he send him to a place that would block him from leaving? He'd want him to have that door open. And that is silly, and that is still negligent. When you could get a first-round pick, a high first-round pick, and you're going to instead take a low second for this Fakakta thing to block him from going to his place where he, you know, went to games at Candlestick Park, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, no. He did what was best for him and not for the team.
And that's how they're making...
By his own definition, it's not great mental toughness, is it?
That's how they're making their decisions? Come on. They were not together. They were not organized. It was not precise. It was not with forethought. It was not maximizing the value. It was waking up one day and saying, screw it. Kyle, you want him? And that is dysfunctional.
Oh, they all got territorial about it. Every single one of them. They all get to, don't forget the part about when, and maybe you mentioned this already, forgive me if I glossed over it. Bill sticking his head into Kraft's office and saying, I just traded Jimmy for a second. And Kraft saying he was surprised by that.
So that was not in the story that I just read, but that was the report. And, you know, where Kraft had to talk to Jonathan about it. And they had to get together and say, is this right? Does that sound right to you that they only got a second round pick for?
So again, think of it in these terms. And I know that, you know, they happened 3 years or two and a half years apart from one another. The cost for Mohamed Sanu was the same basically for Jimmy Garoppolo. Does that sound right?
It's absolutely not right.
I mean, one was too high and the other was too low.
Tony and Sonam. Hi, Tony.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Let me ask you something. The article you read, is that supposed to be facts or is that the opinion of the writer?
No, it's his reporting.
Okay. Bottom line is this. There was no way they could keep Garoppolo and keep Brady.
Agreed.
The decision was made to see who would be best to take them to the Super Bowl that year and the next year. And they made the right decision. You can't always, you know, make trades and draft choices. We see it all the time with every team.
How'd you like the execution, Tony?
How about what?
How was the execution?
The execution?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Is that what happened? Did he call them and said, I'll take a second round? I don't know that. Do you know that?
Yeah. I believe it.
Okay.
I mean, that's what Shanahan has said. Not just Seth Wickersham. It's what Shanahan has said. It's what Shanahan and Lynch have talked about it on the record several times. they hung up the phone from Bill and said, huh? Is that right? Shanahan is quoted as saying it's in the Volan story. It took us about 10 minutes to call him back and decide that we would do it. They got the call out of nowhere. So that's them. That's not even Wickersham telling you. That's them saying it on their own. So, yes, I do believe that. And I do believe that Cleveland was willing to offer one of their first-round picks, and Bill wouldn't even take the call.
And then remember, Garoppolo went 5-0 that year, and the draft pick dropped 10 spots. So there's another element in it. You went from high second to mid-second.
Tom and Newton. Go ahead, Tommy.
Yeah, hey, guys, just two quick points on this. The first one, do you think Brady, when push comes to shove, does he have the stones to go be a Bronco or a Raider and just kind of go into the great unknown? I'm not sure he does. The other thing real quick, with this Jimmy Garoppolo trade, I mean, if Bill took the first-round picks that were on the table in 2017, you could have, you know, Mahomes and Brady on the roster right now. It's just mind-boggling how poorly that thing was managed. What do you guys think?
So here's the big one. In 2017, Cleveland had, I think, 1-12. They had the first overall pick and the 12th overall pick. Apparently, and again, Volan wrote this, that Cleveland was willing to give you that 12th overall pick for Jimmy Garoppolo at the 2017 draft. The 12th overall pick. Again, he writes here, at minimum, Belichick should have called the Browns and Bears before the 2017 trade deadline and played them off the 49ers to get the best possible deal. And the smart move would have been trading Garoppolo prior to the 2017 draft, when Belichick potentially could have gotten the 12th pick from Cleveland. Okay? So Belichick wouldn't trade Jimmy Garoppolo for 4 first-round picks, never mind Cleveland's 12th. So at 12, what Cleveland did is they traded with Houston, who moved up to 12 to take Deshaun Watson. Houston gave Cleveland their first-round pick that year, and then their first-round pick in 2018. In 2018, Deshaun Watson, really the 2017 season, Deshaun Watson got hurt, and Houston ended up at the bottom of the league. Cleveland ended up with the 4th overall pick. You could have had that pick. Because then again, the next trade deadline, so I left that part out. At the next trade deadline in 2017, Cleveland offered you that Houston pick, which wasn't the 4th pick at the time because Deshaun Watson was healthy. Deshaun Watson got hurt after that and then ended up being the 4th overall pick. You could have had. So you could have had either the 12th overall pick in 2017, or the 4th overall pick in 2018 if you had picked up the phone from Cleveland.
Right. The only part I disagree with is the caller said they could have gotten Mahomes. Not true. Because Mahomes went at 10.
That's right.
The year they would have had 12, and the next year was the Baker Mayfield draft. So you couldn't have gotten Mahomes, but that's really beside the point. The bottom line is maximizing the value of Garoppolo while you had him. And so Belichick absolutely, to me, this one's like not even debatable. Gross negligence.
So to me,
and it is, that's the word. Murray mentioned the word a little while ago, and he's right.
And how was all executed? Brady's talking to Kraft about his future. Brady and Kraft. He goes to Bill. Bill doesn't want to give him a contract, but you can start as long as you're the best quarterback. And he's trying to sign Garoppolo, but Garoppolo won't sign because the agent's the same as Tom Brady. And the next thing you know, Belichick wakes up one Tuesday morning in late October and says, "Screw it, Kyle, you want him?" And that's just that. I don't know how anyone could possibly feel good about that. And I want to know, are Belichick and Kraft on the same page? And do they have a cohesive plan ready to roll? Do they have a hard number for Brady? And if Brady doesn't take it, do they have a set plan to go, you know, ready to roll? If it's not Brady, who is it? Is it thought out? Are they moving the pieces on the chessboard like I know they can do so well? Or are they just sort of flying by the seat of their pants? Ah, Brady will cave. He will cave. He always caves. And is Brady saying, I ain't going to take that from Bill, but Robert's going to step in because Robert can't help himself. And we can tell from the interviewing that he can't. Robert will get shout at by the paparazzi in New York. What are you doing with Brady? He said the plan is to keep him. So Robert's still doing his thing. He can't handle the PR, the negative PR of losing Tom Brady. So who's really making the call? Do we know?
Nope.
They've promised Bill to make the call, but who could be confident of that? And how's that decision-making going to go when the rubber meets the road, when they're on the deadline? And now you don't even have a backup, I guess. I don't know. I hope Stidham's a guy, but who knows? So this is where we're at with this story today. Back to your thoughts after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Helpline.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.